Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket, Hour 2. Jake, how you feeling on this glorious July 4th week? You got any big plans for this week, July 4th?
Not huge plans. I'm not huge in buying and blowing all my money up in the air. I like to watch other people's money blow up in the air. But you know, it's always a good time for food and family and trying not to get hurt. So it's a good time.
Such a positive way of looking at it. So as people know, we moved back here last June, and my only regret is that I wish we'd have done it sooner. The one thing that was, and where we lived before is pretty awesome. My favorite day of the year where we lived before was July 4th. So we lived on kind of, it was a lake. And so the town would do their 4th of July fireworks and we could see them from our back porch. Like our back porch was the place to be. Mm. Didn't even know it until the first 4th of July rolled around and we're like, whoa, never seen anything like this. So you can watch the town's fireworks over there. Then our lake does their own private fireworks show. And it was literally right out of our backyard. Above, like, we're sitting there, and, like, the fireworks are, like, where that building is right there, just across the street, we were that far from them, and they're shooting up just above us. Then what we discovered is we have awesome neighbors who have no problem blowing up thousands of dollars in the air, and we were the beneficiaries. Mm. So our neighbor on the right, bam! Our neighbor on the left, bam! You've got right in front of us on the lake. And then we just so happened to be in a spot where you could see all the neighboring towns' fireworks just all around you. So July 4th every year, like our spot was terrible for trick-or-treating because it takes so long to walk back and we were off the street. And then every house in our neighborhood was like way off the street. Mm. So you spend like 90% of your time walking and you get in like three trick-or-treats and three candy bars before you have to go home. So our neighborhood was not the place for Halloween. You want the places with a million houses that are all close together. And then we found one house that gives away king-size candy bars every year.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, dude, that we never missed that house after we figured that out. But out our back, dude, it was just like, it was like bombs over Baghdad with fireworks, to be clear, obviously. And it was just like, we never set off one. I think we did sparklers one year because the kids wanted to, but I was just like, why? Why would I spend any money? So we were completely and utterly spoiled. I did forget one Jordan stat earlier. Between, and I actually got to double check this because I don't know if this one's true. Between November 1990 and June 1998, the Bulls never lost more than two games in a row when Jordan was playing. Here's why I'm not 100% sure if it's correct. I remember a distinct Eastern Conference Championship Series with the Knicks. The Knicks had home court. They won the first two games of the series. And they were up 2-0 going back to Chicago, and Chicago won the next four, beat them in six. And if that's true, that would invalidate what I just read, but it would be the only exception. But still, even if there's that one exception, that's still, did they ever lose two games in a row or just do it one time? That's still pretty crazy and insane. All right, Nebraska football, a lot of success in recruiting. This is going, probably not going to be a large class. I've said it before, I'll probably say it again. It's quality over amount of quantity. And I had written down a note. I've got so many notes and screenshots and grabs. I'm not as organized as I normally am. Normally, I've got boom, 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 boom. I saw somewhere where Nebraska has, it's either over 80 or 90 freshmen or sophomores on the roster right now. Now, again, Don't quote me on that because I was unable to find it. But I think that's part of the my note where I wrote that. But I think that's part of the reason they're not shooting for a large class. They're like, we got a ton of young players. And that's where they can do the quality over quantity approach. And again, as I mentioned in the first hour, if you're going, you don't care about geographic location and you're just going for the best that you can possibly get, out-of-state kids are going to take longer to get to Lincoln and to get them to commit because they're going to have local offers. They're going to have offers from states, their in-state schools, from states that are right around them. And then you're trying to get them to come to Nebraska when maybe they're not as familiar with it. But Nebraska's had a ton of commits in June. They're starting to have, I don't want to say the commits pile up because that would be misleading, but they're starting to have the trickle-in commits that I kind of have thought they would have this entire summer. It's probably going to slow down in the fall. And then as the season gets towards the end and December rolls around, it'll pick back up. But why don't you tell the fine folks about some of the new players that just committed and who else might be on their radar? Because I got a couple of people who might be on their radar, potential flips as well.
Well, the big news for today is Chad Puma is a four-star 6'7", 308 kid out of Chicago, Illinois. And he's got everybody, anybody and everybody that is the who's who of college football got an offer for him. And that's really what's kind of been this late run for Nebraska here in June. Well, June's over now, but this past June, they had eight commitments in the month. And that happens often. We kind of get all worried about what's going to happen, how many kids they have. And then June kind of comes along and you pick up there. And it certainly has been a big month for Nebraska. So Puma probably, automatically just by jumping in, is maybe the highest rated guy in the group. Depending on what side you look at, Danny Odom is one of those guys. Those are two top 250 type of guys, if you look around the country. And so it's going to be kind of a mix, right? There's some guys that don't have as many commitments, and you always have to just rely on the coach. Offers that the coaches are doing their diligence and going out there and finding the diamonds in the rough to a degree, right? Of the rough of the three star. It's still a pretty good football player for a three star player. But, and that's always nice. Those are good stories. But at some point, you're going to need to get guys that everybody views as, one of the dudes. And they've got a couple of those guys now. Puma, again, along with Danny Odom, are top end guys. Luke Sorensen, Nayland Scott, the tight end wide receiver they've got. Those guys have offers left and right from some of the top programs in the nation. So now Nebraska's class is starting to look again like it usually does. We always do the panic thing where you're going to have.
I did not panic. But
right,
go ahead.
Right. You're going to have about, five or six players that are four-star quality or in that deal. Maybe by the end of it. Again, the question is, are you going to surpass that? Is it going to be an exceptional class? Where's it going to kind of fall in? But it looks like Nebraska is going to be able to, depending on number of people in the class, right, rise up the rankings to a degree. And they're steadily doing that if you look already. But to me, the most important thing is to get a couple 250. I mean, you can recruit the diamonds in the rough. Nebraska needs to certainly improve their development. That's been a big problem here for a decade. But you need to also be competitive with those top end players. And especially considering Matt Rhule, basically he hasn't been quiet about it. That's kind of what they're doing this year, as opposed to taking in-state kids is to rely on their own, evaluation and go out there and take some big swings. And then now they've landed on some of those big swings.
92 freshmen and sophomores. It's the exact number they have. I knew we were young. 92. Jake, did you realize we were that young, freshmen and sophomores currently on the roster for the Huskers?
No, that's a lot.
I knew we were young, but holy Moses Malone, that is a ton. Talk about a basketball reference there. Okay, so you alluded to it, kind of the approach they're taking. You look at, and I've actually, I told you, I've been messaging back and forth with Claude Puma, trying to get an interview with him. He's incredibly responsive, just speedier if we're trying to get an interview set up. So hopefully we can bring him on the show here at some point this week. He's excited to be a Husker. I do know that from chatting with him. But yeah, these are some of the schools that Nebraska beat out. Auburn, Florida, Michigan, Ohio State. Okay. 6'8", 305 pounds, considered easily one of the top offensive linemen in this class. And when you think 6'8", 305, you think, okay, how well does he move? And then what you hear, a mammoth frame with a unique athleticism. Like when somebody uses the A word, athleticism, that A word to describe a guy that's 6'8", that's exciting. And then you think about he's 305. So yeah, technically he's big enough to come in and compete right away. Maybe he does or he doesn't, but the development, the potential that is there. I will tell you right now, when colleges looked at me, I wasn't the highest recruited guy in the world. What they would say, because my senior year, I was like 6'6", 235. By the end of my senior season, I actually lost weight. I was 225. They'd look at me and they'd go, you got a huge frame. And that was something that helped me get noticed by schools, despite my high school team being 0-9. So coaches will look at a kid. All right, what's his work ethic? What can we get out of him now? What can he develop into? I'm telling you right now, his potential ceiling, his level of improvement and or development that can happen once he arrives on campus here in Lincoln, it's as high as any recruit we brought in a while. And yeah, I know that's a big thing to say. When you talk about some of the recruits that we brought in, whether it's a five-star, whether it's whatever it is, you know, you look at guys like Trey Taylor, Dylan Raiola, and of course, those are quarterbacks. I see his ceiling being as high as anybody. I would liken it to an Elijah Pritchett, who I think has a top 10 ceiling. He's projected to be the 21st pick in the NFL draft. And not everybody in Alabama was thrilled with how he played last year. I mean, I'm just being fair, right? Just being honest, right, Jake? Like, yeah, obviously, yeah. We have high expectations here, but that tells you his ceiling and potential.
Yeah, yeah, it's fascinating. And that's kind of where Puma stands, too, is that he's seen as a little bit raw, right, with an incredible upside. He actually moved to the United States from Cameroon for basketball purposes. He thought maybe he had a future in basketball. So that lets you know, though, that's always what you want to hear when you're talking about a big guy like that, is that, you know, because in basketball, you can't be too stiff, right? So you got to be pretty quick with your feet and moving around. So that's the excitement about him. And it's not to say that, you know, again, maybe he could play, you know, for earlier, maybe develops earlier. It doesn't necessarily have to be a long-term project, but hopefully Nebraska's at the point where you don't just have to slide him in, because I think that has maybe stunted development of some of Nebraska's top offensive lineman recruits in the past.
I think that's a fair point. It's obviously much easier if you've got...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
A guy playing well, and then if he graduates, leaves early, whatever the case may be, you've got another guy ready to go. I think there's been times when someone would either transfer, graduate, whatever the case may be. We've had a lot of injuries on the offensive line. That hasn't helped either. And then all of a sudden, a younger player has to be thrust into the mold a little bit early. And that can actually stunt development, because there's something to be said for, like, look at guys who haven't played right away. Like Arch Manning is going into, what, his third or fourth year at Texas? I mean, he started a couple of games when Quinn Ewers got hurt. But he's going to have the weight of the world as far as expectations this year. But he's had a couple of years to get ready. You know, in fairness to Dylan Raiola, and he wanted to start as a true freshman, but you come in day one and you've got all these expectations on you right away. That can be hard for a young man. I think Dana Holgorsen even mentioned the other day in one of the interviews he did, I forget who he was speaking with, but he mentioned Dylan might have hit a bit of a freshman wall last year. That's not something he's not afforded because you have to play right away. He wasn't afforded any grace in those things. And I'm not creating any excuses. Trust me. When you're making six or seven figures, it's part of the deal, okay? Which college athletes, not all of them, but some of them are making now. So it's part of the deal. But when you're allowed time to develop, because you make a great point, all of a sudden, when you're thrust into the action, it's no longer thrust. It's now, I'm ready. Let's do this thing. I just haven't done it before, but now I'm going to get these reps. Let's go. There's a huge difference between that and you're thrown out there early. I'm trying to imagine myself. Like, as a redshirt freshman, was I physically ready? Yeah, I can tell you I was physically ready. Mentally, I really needed to wait till my sophomore year. I can honestly look back and say mentally, the day in and day out grind of being a starter, practices, games, playing first down, second down, third down. My freshman year, I was just a nickel guy. I was going to play 15 plays a game, and I just got to rush the passer. Like, physically, I could have done more. Mentally, that's what I was ready for. And I can look back and say that with all honesty, and I can be honest in my own self-evaluation. And then my sophomore year, unfortunately, I got banged up early on. I didn't get to play as much as I wanted until about the back half of the season. But I was more mentally ready. Then by my junior year, bam, I just took off. I felt like I was ready to go. You know, in the first four games, I had four sacks. And I was like, it helped me be a better player because I had guys in front of me like Des Moines Adams and Chris Kelsey and Trevor Johnson and all these other guys. So, all right, let's get to some of these other recent commitments that you and I have not chatted about yet anyways. All right, Nebraska also received a commitment from three-star offensive tackle. How do I say this last name? Noel? Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. So I just want to make sure. Leon Noel from New Orleans. All right. He's the 11th known commit at the time. All right. For the Huskers 2026 class. So this is a guy who, if you watch the film, he's a good player. He's a physical player. He doesn't maybe have quite the hype of Puma, but I'll be honest with you. When you mentioned raw, like Puma's ceiling is as high as you want it to be. And I'm not saying Noel's isn't. As far as being a little bit more technically sound right now, I would give the edge to Noel. And so maybe a guy, you know, film looks a little bit cleaner, but they're both going to come in. They're going to battle. They're going to compete for reps, for time, we'll see if they redshirt or not. Not near as many guys redshirt anymore. Most guys play a lot sooner. Okay, Calvin Thomas is an inside linebacker, four-star. He is predicted, has a crystal ball, to come to Nebraska. He hasn't actually committed anywhere yet. I didn't miss that, did I, Jake?
No, not even.
I didn't think so. Okay, who else am I missing? We've had more commitments recently. Who else am I missing there, Jake?
Would we talk about Nayland Scott, the wide receiver?
We have not yet. Flip from Arizona State, right?
Yeah.
This is an exciting guy with playmaking ability. He's a guy that I know Rule and his staff have been wanting for a while. That it's one of those things where you never stop recruiting. And I've said it before. I firmly believe that Trey Taylor's coming here, okay? I'm not trying to cast aspersions or doubt. I firmly believe that he's all in. But Matt Rhule can't stop recruiting Trey Taylor. He can't stop recruiting Puma. He can't stop recruiting Noel. He can't. You have to constantly recruit guys, even when guys commit, the guys who've committed to you, but even when guys commit somewhere else, all right, it's one of those things where you never know what might happen. And as we've talked about before, even if they don't commit out of high school, you might get another crack at him come the transfer portal. And if you're one of those coaches who ended on good terms, has a great relationship with them, you might be one of their first calls, or you can be one of the first people that they answer their call if they do indeed enter the transfer portal. So you look at Scott, dude, this is a guy that they've wanted for a while. He was committed to ASU. He's a guy who can come in, make some plays, got some playmaking ability here. All right. Let me see a couple of things. So Thomas, who I talked about a minute ago, is going to commit on July 12th. Larry Miles, another guy that they're targeting, is actually committing today. And just for reference, Thomas, who's committing July 12th, runs a 4.5 40-yard dash. Okay. And a lot of people think that Larry Miles, not to jump back and forth between those two, I don't want to say he's another Ja'Cory Barney, but some folks have kind of likened him to being Ja'Cory Barney. So, got any other thoughts there? Who have we not talked about yet, Jake? I'm trying to thumb through here and see who we missed. Torrey Pittman, okay, actually received a crystal ball from Greg Smith. He's a five-star that Greg Smith believes he's going to be committing to Nebraska. Anything else there, Jake?
No, I just think sometimes it's interesting to go and look by position because they do have, of the 11, and again, this can change daily or by the end of the deal, but you know, a lot of times we talk about offensive linemen and needing those years to develop, right? And so they've got four offensive linemen in this class, and of the 11 players, not one defensive lineman. So it's kind of interesting just to kind of look at it. Maybe they will, and they kind of leaned into the transfer portal this last year on defensive linemen. So maybe positionally you have different thoughts about whether you want to go into the transfer portal or recruit from the high school rankings. Now, to be fair, I think of the first maybe nine guys on the depth chart. I think there's only one senior in Elijah Judah, on the front line. So that could be part of it too. So it's not necessarily it's not a complete sample, right? So we don't. But as just early indications are kind of interesting there. And then you just also have to give credit to Coach Raiola for, you know, already having four offensive linemen in this class, two interior, two on the outside.
I think you make a great point because the offensive line, we have a bunch of vets up front. We just do. So you can bring in younger guys and they'll have time to develop. And the offensive line, as you know, Jake, that's probably the one position I would have. There was a time when I would have thrown quarterback into this, but not so much anymore. Not as much anymore, but offensive line is probably the one position that usually takes the most amount of development before you're ready to play, just because of the physical demands on offensive linemen. And you make a great point with the D-line. There's probably not going to be a whole lot of D-linemen in this class because the D-line we have is currently freaking pretty young. So I think those are a couple of fair things that you pointed out there as well. All right. Any final thoughts before we head to break there? I think we about covered it. You got anything?
No, just excited. Again, I don't know if we got into complete freakout mode, but things are looking better in Nebraska recruiting front.
It's interesting because, again, when I talked about Nebraska being dead last in recruiting in the Big Ten a couple of weeks ago, like I had to talk about it. Like June is now a big time recruiting month. That's where we were. But I also was like, I'm 0% concerned. Like it's gonna turn out just fine in the end. Now, I don't know that we're going to have enough players number-wise in this recruiting class to crack like the top 15, maybe the top 15, but typically those teams have anywhere from like 20 to 25 players, or if you're USC, you got like 5,000 committed already. So I don't know if we'll crack the top 10 or 15, but if we're going to continue to get players like we've gotten, Puma and Sorensen, the tight end, you know what I love about some of these players? Puma is raw, young. His growth is going to be accelerated. Sorensen, what's it, only his second, third year of playing football in his life? And look at all the offers that he had. And so this is a guy, like, we're bringing in guys, they're only scratching the surface level of their potential. I mentioned this, I think, when we chatted with Luke, the tight end. Will Bolt, I interviewed him about 4 or 5 years ago, and John Cook, it was literally an interview like 6 months later. I asked them both completely independent of each other, if you could give young athletes who want to play college sports one day, one piece of advice. They both gave the same answer, completely independent of each other, and it was play multiple sports. And if you're a one-sport athlete, hey, that's your choice. We can debate yay, nay all day long if you want. But one thing college coaches like is if you're good enough to get an offer and you're not mentally worn out from a sport, you're not physically worn out from a sport, you've done multiple sports, I know when you get here, you're going to get exponentially better. The only concern with a solo sport athlete, and I'm not indicting people who do this in any way, shape, or form. Again, we can debate this at a later date. I'd be happy to. Sometimes when you get to college, the coach can be like, all right, you've already done this a lot. How much more can I get out of you? I look at Sorensen. I look at Puma. Dude, these dudes are just scratching the surface of their potential. So that's exciting for those two players specifically. All right, one final thought before we get out of here. This is Nebraska basketball related. You're probably all aware of this, but I just wanted to mention it real quick on this show. Record-setting Nebraska guard Bryce Williams was not selected in the 2025 NBA draft. So you and I both got that wrong. We thought he'd get popped, but neither one of us was confident. Popped isn't taken in the draft, but he'll still get his chance at the next level after signing with the Detroit Pistons. All right, what are your thoughts on Bryce in the NBA, not getting drafted, et cetera, before we head to break?
Yeah, like you said, it was kind of a – I think we both went for it because we wanted him to get drafted. But either way, he was late second round if he was going to get drafted. And so now you just – hopefully you carry that chip on your shoulder. You go to an organization that has been improving and can see if you can get anything done. I mean, it's tough. I mean, that's what it is. There are a lot of guys, especially wings, that go in that they're going to look like Bryce Williams. So you got to do something to separate that. Can you be a 3-and-D player? You know, he could score at all three levels in college. Can he do that at the next level? And it's just always surprised me the level of talent that goes undrafted from the college level to the NBA. And he's in that kind of field this year of like a top five scorer, or whatever he was, top 10, whatever he finished in college basketball, to not going undrafted.
I can't wait to see what happens. He's going to start one day. That's my prediction. He's one of those guys who flew under the radar because he played on a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament. Nebraska isn't exactly known for being a basketball powerhouse, so he flew under the radar. This is a dude who will one day start in the NBA some point within the next 2 to 3 years. That's my prediction.
There you go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even. Like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations, because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.